Happy Thursday, and thank you for joining another special episode of Your Welcome. Guys, thank you for going over to ESPN Plus, and thank you for checking out Daniel Cormier and I's new show. I really do appreciate that. Like, I get competitive like anybody else. Those numbers matter to me, and being number one because of you guys. I do appreciate that. Hard for me to say thank you. So this is as far as I'm going to get, but in exchange, I promise to bring you some content. For example, I want to get into the UFC 299 preview. I'm going to do that today, a day earlier, to show you my appreciation that we gather here every week. And coming up today, I'm going to give you some predictions for 299 that I think might surprise you. I'm also going to answer this question. Could this be the beginning of the end for Dustin Poirier? Plus, there's a massive boxing fight Friday night, and that's where we're going to begin today. Is Francis Ngannou going to beat Anthony Joshua? By the way, you make three times your money over at DraftKings if you think so. Now, I want you to answer that question. It's not rhetorical. I'm speaking nice and slowly to buy you a little bit of time. Is Francis Ngannou going to win the fight with Joshua? It's a 3-1 dog at DraftKings. Now, Dewey Cooper came out. Boy, Dewey Cooper's done a great job. What a great job he's done. So, Cooper did an interview talking about his guy, Francis Ngannou, said Francis is going to knock him out. That's a very common thing to hear when two guys are threatening to fight one another. From the first time you ever heard two guys threatening to fight each other, which would have been in school, on recess, one of them made that claim, I'm going to knock you out. You never heard somebody say, I'm going to push you up against the wall and hold you there till a teacher comes. Like, that never happened. Nobody said, I got more friends than you, and I'm going to grab you by the hair, and my other friend's going to grab you by the jacket sleeve. Like, you didn't hear these things. Somebody said, I'm going to knock you out. You want to know why it's relevant? Because Dewey Cooper isn't a street yard kid. He's a coach and a trainer of some of the most vicious combat athletes alive, and Dewey Cooper did not say that Francis Ngannou is going to beat Joshua. See, if he did, and you took that and you went to DraftKings, you could make three times your money. Cooper says he's going to knock him out. Now, that is a completely different type of bet. If you believe that Francis is going to win the fight, then the next question I'm going to ask you is how? And I don't think that you're bullish on the idea that he's going to win a decision. I don't think that. I think those of you that believe Francis is going to win the fight side with Cooper and believe that Francis is going to knock him out. Now you're talking about a much bigger payday, but I want to ask you something else. Does he have to? When Francis's coach, Dewey Cooper, comes out and says, my client, Francis Ngannou, is going to knock out Joshua, does Francis have to knock him out? Generally, the answer would be yes. It's very hard to believe that Francis, as big as he is, as inexperienced in that realm as he is, can go a decision and or win one. But to remind you, as big as he is, and regardless of his experience, his last two fights have both been world title fights, and his last two fights both went to a decision. One of them, the judges awarded him the victory. So Francis is a little tougher than to just look at the numbers. Look, I was hearing an analysis. I believe that this was on Fighter and the Kid. I think this was Brendan and Callan were talking about this. But they brought in Ruiz. And they talked about how many times Ruiz knocked Anthony Joshua down. I think it was like four times. I watched that fight. It was comical how many times he went. Like, I couldn't believe they were letting him up. It was that many times. 3, 4, 5. It was something silly. But I haven't ever seen Francis knocked down. And I sure have seen him hit. I know that Ruiz can connect and connect very hard, but I don't believe that Ruiz hits harder than Tyson Fury, or at least not by a meaningful amount. Ruiz put those hands and did that damage and knocked down the pop-up doll so many times that I've lost track. I'm telling you, it was 3 or 4 or 5, and he did it in a short period of time. Fury punched Francis in the face for 30 minutes and still never put him down. I think that it's meaningful. I think it's interesting, right? I really do. When Dewey Cooper says Francis Ngannou is going to knock him out, is Dewey Cooper also letting us in on something? Is he revealing to us that he has to knock him out? And Mike Tyson had a wonderful expression. I ended up getting credit for it because I used it on the Joe Rogan program. So I've heard people say, well, Chael Sonnen once said, I appreciate it, but I got it from Mike Tyson. And all Mike said is, if you ever try to win by finish, if you ever try to knock a guy out, you will not win the decision. And it is a very important thing to keep in mind. Like, if you do come to the conclusion, I am not as good of a boxer as he is. Okay, great. What are we doing here? Well, I'm stronger than he is. Okay, great. What does that mean? Well, I can hit harder than he can. Not only can I hit harder than he can, he's actually susceptible to his left side where I do my best work. All I got to do is circle to the right. Let him throw his lead hand. I'm going to come right underneath to that liver. I mean, I'm just, for example, like you could build up a real head of steam and a real head of confidence if you saw something like that. If you found a path for yourself that you thought was a very realistic path. At the same time, you're fully aware, I cannot push as hard as he can. I cannot move my feet, move my head, keep my combinations, keep my wit about me for as long as he can. And a combat athlete's biggest fear is not failure. His biggest fear is reaching exhaustion. The only thing an athlete is scared of in the back, they'll be at the press conference, they'll be face to face, and he's trying to get in his head, and you'll hear the announcers telling you all these different things, and who's got the pressure? Zero of it is true when those announcers say it. There is one thought that will go through Francis's head, and one thought that will go through Joshua's head. Just one. Am I in better shape than he is? Can I hold up at the pace should the worst scenario come, which is we reach the last and final round? Can I protect myself at all times, or will I reach an exhaustion to where I can't go on? That's it. If you ever hear an athlete tell you he's confident, if you ever believe it, if you ever look at an athlete going, wow, he seems really confident, that is the deduction that he has done in his head. I can go harder longer than that person. It might be because they worked extra hard themselves or they got some inside scoop and that guy didn't. But all the confidence will come from, it's only that one thing. And there are times when you're trying to break down a fight in a worst case scenario, which is the end of the night comes, and you will very rationally come to the conclusion, no, I cannot hold up. I cannot push as long and as hard as he can. So what do you do then? The majority of Earth doesn't take the fight. But Francis is special. He's different. He's a champion. His mind is going to work different. And even though a worst case scenario of which he's going to walk himself into a fire and present himself with, which is to be in there longer with somebody who's done this for a lifetime and knows how to pace and can hold up, I'll still take the fight and I'll still plan to win because I can beat him and here's how, but it involves finishing him. And I'm only wondering when Dewey Cooper, the man that trained the man that's got to go out there and do it, when Dewey Cooper comes out and says Francis is going to knock him out, is Dewey Cooper also telling us for victory, Francis has to knock him out? And it's very interesting, right? When I'm talking to you about DraftKings, I'm talking about you go over three times your money. You're all going to thank me. You heard about it from Chael, right? Isn't it worth the consideration of the risk to pick the specific way? Right? There's a lot of ways to win a fight. Disqualification, get you the same 3-1. Split decision, get the same 3-1. TKO, knockout, it all get you the same 3-1 unless you push the little button that says specifically. Now you can get extra crazy and you can call the round and do these other things. By the way, I'm not advising you to do any of those. What I'm doing is trying to collectively ask, because we know Dewey Cooper, don't we? See, the boxing community doesn't know him. They don't know how good he is. They don't know how determined he is. They don't know the story behind Dewey Cooper. They don't know all the greats, right? Like the lights get really bright for some guys, including trainers, not Cooper. He has been there and he has done that and he has looked at this. And this is where he prefers to be. You guys know Dewey Cooper as the trainer of so many great mixed martial arts guys, but more specifically, he is training the stand-up elements of those mixed martial arts guys. this is right where he wants to be. This is right in his wheelhouse. He has assessed both of these athletes, and he has come out and not only said Francis is going to win, he said he's going to knock him out. Now, I'm here to ask you, if Cooper is right, is he revealing something to us in that if Francis wins, does he have to win by KO? Love your sport? Do you love your sport? Not to you love watching the sport or you love playing the sport. Do you love your sport? Okay. Would you do it in your backyard? If it was a one-man sport, maybe you have a ball, you don't need anybody. Would you go alone in your backyard and would you play it? What if you need another guy? Would you and a buddy that came over go in the backyard and do it? No cameras, no one watching, no press, no uniforms. If you went in your backyard by yourself, if you went in your backyard with your buddy, have you disrespected your sport in any way? Do you love your sport? Would you play your sport on recess? Would you get a group of people together that didn't love the sport, didn't know a lot about the sport, but they were bodies, and if you had those bodies and you had the right equipment, you could then play the sport for the better part of 30 minutes before the principal calls you back in? If you did those things, have you disrespected your sport? It's an interesting question because I've heard that Jake Paul is disrespecting boxing. I've heard that Canelo Alvarez will not fight Jake Paul because Canelo Alvarez does not want a sideshow. He does not want a circus. He does not want to waste his time because he loves his sport. And that is a fascinating concept to me. Like, what part of that sport would Canelo love? What would he be holding true to? Is it the ring? Because Jake Paul is willing to meet him in a ring. Is it the attire? Is it the big gloves and the mouthpiece? Because Jake Paul's willing to wear the big gloves and put in the mouthpiece. Is it having an official present? Because Jake Paul is willing, after you bring the ring and you put in the mouthpiece through those big gloves, to have an official present. So what part of that would be wrong for Canelo to do? What part of that would he be disrespecting? What part of that is a circus and or a sideshow that he is above? Or that he wouldn't want to be part of. And I'm just asking, why would you not want to be part of it? If you love it, if you're willing to do it in your garage, which I'm sure he's done many times. He's probably never done it on recess. I'll admit he's probably never boxed, but I bet you he would. I bet you he wished he could. I bet you if they had those gloves and those teachers weren't looking, he would have. I'll bet you, like any of you, he would have played and done his favorite sport anytime he got an opportunity. That's what I would bet. So why would he not do what's being called a sideshow? And it's very interesting. It's a very interesting dynamic that would happen to the greats. If somebody came over to your sport and they didn't belong, but they got a lot of attention, they made a lot of claims, they began to get the perception. They began to get the accolades. They began to get the money. They began to get the headlines that belonged to you and or somebody else. If you were a leader in that sport, you would take it all back. You would straighten that person out. And you might even do it for the betterment of fill in the blank. Table tennis, golf, Greco-Roman wrestling, whatever it might be. But those things would be near and dear to your heart if you truly believed in them. You would not just let somebody come over. You just wouldn't do it. There's not a sport out there. You ever want to spot a fake black belt? Somebody ever comes up to you and tells you they're a black belt in karate. Bring up a different art. Bring up taekwondo. Tell them how great taekwondo is. See if you can get that black belt to agree with you, because if you can, they're not a black belt. Just letting you know, piece of psychology, no black belt would ever turn on their own art. No karate black belt would ever concede in any argument that a jiu-jitsu black belt is more valuable. Just wouldn't happen. I came from the sport of wrestling. And I could not even begin to imagine that somebody would come out and begin to claim that they were better wrestlers than we were. Like, there's no part of it that we would have found funny. But there's also no part of it where we would have wished ill upon them. We would simply offer them a time, we'd shake hands, grab a hold of them, and then put their shoulders to the ground, and that conversation would be over. That would be that. And then if we weren't in the sport of wrestling that is so incredibly poorly ran, maybe we could even do it on cameras. Maybe we could even sell some tickets and some people would come. I mean, that's never happened in the sport of wrestling, but let's just say that that was a built-in mechanism and it was something that people wanted to see. If this guy, who wasn't as good as he claimed he was able to fill up one of those buildings, we'd let him. Believe me, we'd let him. And there's nobody that wouldn't show up. Jordan Burroughs, show up, straighten that guy out. Kyle Snyder, show up and straighten that guy out. David Taylor, walk right in the room. Nick Wazowski, come right on in. He would never say, what are your credentials and where are your medals and you don't belong here. He would say, are you red or are you green? That's it. And they would go and then they would do the match. But Canelo won't fight Jake Paul because Jake Paul is making a mockery out of boxing. He's making a sideshow of it. He's making a circus out of it. What part of that is bad? Like, I won't even concede that he's doing those things. I won't concede any of that. When he started fighting and beating world champions, the gig was up, in my opinion. But let's say the gig wasn't up. Let's say he was being silly and he was being a fool, but he could fill up an arena. And he could get DAZN to air it. And before that, he could get Showtime to air it. What part of that isn't what you're looking for? I never got to find that myself. Wouldn't matter if it was my wrestling days or my mixed martial arts days. I never found it. But believe me, I would have loved to have an easy match against a guy that was perceived to be a hard match. Oh, and by the way, have a whole bunch of people tune in. Give me those accolades and that perceptions after I get rid of him because he's not very good and doesn't belong here in the first place. Like, if that was actually true, this would be a dream come true, not something that I would avoid. And I never get my way. I never do. Like, Chael the Fan can never get a win. But I do wish that Jake Paul would go out and try to make the Olympic team in boxing. I would have a ton of respect for that. That's when we would all know, okay, he really truly does love this. And it's nearly impossible to get a guy to agree to do something like that. It's nearly impossible. But as far as the attention goes and the accolades and the cameras and even the money, if Jake Paul came out and said that, if he then went to USAB, which he could just go online and do, and actually got a participation card, I mean, I'm just sharing with you, like, all the attention and all the money is all, it's all right there. He would not have to lift a finger. He would not have to go out and promote and book Madison Square Garden and play the long game. He wouldn't have to do any of those things. He would get all the attention. Boom, it would be straight on him. It is the biggest sporting event in the world. It comes once every 4 years. And they try to rig the system all the time because it's nothing more. Like, if you know the scumbags that run the NCAA, the scumbags that are the NCAA got nothing, nothing on the International Olympic Committee. I'm just sharing for you. And they would take one look at who the most popular, not the best. They couldn't possibly care less who was the best. They will take one look at the registrants, who is most popular, and they will put tens of millions of dollars behind that person. And I think Jake Paul could make the team. I think Jake Paul is really good. I just share that for you. Do you want to know why Big Nogueira fed the bus a carrot? Do you want to know? Do you know why it wasn't Little Nog? Because Little Nog tried to make the Olympic team. That's why. Little Nog said he liked boxing, and then he went out in the amateur ranks, and he won the national title for Brazil, which made him the number one guy to represent the country in the Olympic Games. I can't remember what happened. I can't remember why he didn't go. Maybe he lost the final box-off. I know he won the nationals, and I know he pursued it. He might have lost the final box-off in Brazil, and he was an alternate for the Olympic team. It was a long time ago. think it was 2012. Is that when they held the games in Rio? At any rate, I respected it. I knew it was true. I knew he really loved an art. I knew he really wanted to be good. And that's why Big Nog is the one that tried to feed the bus a carrot.
Summer is coming up, and that might mean that you're going to have a little more time on your hands. Why not use it to learn a new language? Rosetta Stone, the most trusted language learning program that truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, is here to help you. Some of you may be traveling abroad this summer, and you might want to experience that country beyond just the touristy type spots. Your experience could be upgraded just by learning the native language. Now you can download the Rosetta Stone app to your phone or tablet and learn on the go while driving, riding on the subway, running on a treadmill, or even laying poolside with just a 10-minute lesson per day. Rosetta Stone's lessons are designed for long-term retention of language skills rather than short-term memorization. The focus of the program is preparing you for real, authentic conversations, not just knowing a couple of translations. It's like having your own personal trainer for language learning. Rosetta Stone has been used by millions of people for over 3 decades. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started for a limited time. My listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off. Unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. That's a steal. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Guys, outdoor concert and festival season is upon us, and it will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your one-stop shop for your head-to-toe attire needs. One of my favorite smells is fresh leather on a new pair of boots. Man, there's just something about being able to smell high quality with your own nose. You ever walked into the store? You know exactly what I'm talking about. I was so impressed when I found out all Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition. My wife, Miss Brittany, recently picked out a new pair for me, and I gotta say, I experienced an instant upgrade in my mood and my style. By the way, I always go with a rounded tip boot, no flat tip. It's more of a classic style. That's personal. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary beverage or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it to the store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to Tecovas.com and find your favorite pair of boots today.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What is the holdup with Michael Chandler and Conor McGregor, right? Like, if I could find anything out within this sport, there's a couple of things I really want to know. Let me just list them for you. Like if I had, what do they call that, a fly on a wall? Is that the expression for if you could just eavesdrop on something so you really knew what's going on? I'm very curious if George Masvidal and Nate Diaz are going to box each other. I'm told that they are. I would like to hear more about that. I'm curious as to why we were told that and no announcement came. Just for example, I'm curious, go back to George Masvidal, why he did not respond to Mike Perry's call out. I'm just curious. These are things that I wonder within the sport. I'm also very curious what's holding up Michael Chandler and Conor McGregor. And quite frankly, we haven't even heard any good rumors. Conor McGregor says he's going to fight Chandler. Conor McGregor had a date for us. The only thing that Conor was being silly about was the weight class of saying 185 pounds. And quite frankly, it's not all that silly. Like, I think you could just write heavyweight or you could write open weight on a bout agreement and just let guys show up at whatever they want to weigh. I mean, I don't think it's that silly. That fight is not for a title. That fight is not for title contention. Now, it's a big deal that you stay with me on this point. We have everything that we need for that fight except the weight. And I'm not even a little bit suggesting for you that this fight is being delayed for weight. I want you to make sure that you understand that concept. I want to stop you right here until we bang this car into each other over and over enough that you finally go, okay, Chael, fine, we don't have the weight. I have no idea why you're making that a point. I have no idea what that matters. No. I need to get you there. Because once I get you there and once you understand that we don't have a weight, oh, and by the way, it doesn't matter. It does not matter what weight those guys fight at. 85, 82, 91, 201 and three quarters. Once I can get you there mentally, now I can begin to show you what the delay and the problem with that match is. Look, and we don't know. I open this by telling you, I don't know. But if I was to follow the golden rule of life, which is to put myself in somebody else's shoes, what is it I would do? Right? You never really need to wonder if somebody's lying to you. Just ask yourself, if I was in their spot, would I tell the truth? Like, it's one of these things, but if I got a contract with Conor, okay? Conor's done a great job, and he's built that, and Red Panty Night, you better believe, is still a real thing. It is still a celebration when you get McGregor, just like Conor said it was. But if I got to write that check, I got to write the same number on that check regardless of what weight class they do it at. I have to write the same number on that check that I have already agreed to, that's already done in a contract, complete with participation, complete with where I'm going to put the proper 12 logo, complete with how many hotels that all got to be suites and how many flights that all got to be first class. That's already done. It doesn't change. And I might be making money that night and I might be getting my ass kicked that night. But either way, if I'm making money or I'm getting my ass kicked, my mindset is the same, which is I'm going to use that night as an investment to the future. If I make a whole bunch of money, I'm not satisfied. I'm still going to use that as an investment to make more money in the future. Things aren't going to go so well because I got a contract that's outpriced a guy. It doesn't matter. I'm going to cover some of those losses by using this as an investment to the future. Now, the reason I harped on the weight wasn't because it matters what they weigh. It's because as soon as I can get you to agree and to understand that any part of that fight doesn't matter, we now don't have a main event. And that is what the holdup is with this fight. If I have got to write Conor a check, I got a contract. It's to say, I got his opponent. I play the venue game like anybody. I play the distribution game, but I can check all those boxes off. Once everything's done, I got to pull the switch. And the switch is where I release the card and I reveal to my biggest star, you're not the main event. And my biggest star is going to say, bull. And he's going to say, I'm the biggest draw. And he's going to say, I'm making the most money. Say, I'm the one that moves the needle and I'm the one you're going to lean on for the press. And if you want me to do all of those things, I am in the main event. And I'm going to have to push back and say, No, you're not. It's costing me the same either way. If you're the main event or you're the co-main event, what I have to write is the same either way. And it's a big check and it's hefty and it doesn't lead to things because this isn't a number one contenders fight. This fight doesn't draw you into something else the way I generally like to do business. This is a fight that I have to do because I promised your opponent, I promised the people, and I'm going to do it. But I can't put you at the end of the night. And all I have to do to build a star, and I can choose. I could choose at random. All I have to do to promote, to lift somebody up, is have them walk out after you. Very hard to promote somebody. It's very hard to elevate somebody. I can come out, I can yell it from the rooftops. I'd be the world's greatest carnival barker. People take or they don't. Guys that look good on paper, guys I gave signing bonuses to, guys that came from other organizations, everything's right and it goes flat. It doesn't work and nobody knows why. No one knows. So you throw a whole bunch of things at the wall. In the case of the UFC, you got 767 things you threw at the wall. 8 of them can make you a little bit of money. 5 of them can make you good money, and 3 of them can make you a bunch of it. And everybody else will sit at the table that those 8, 5, and 3 generate from. But one way, for sure, to get somebody and to put them over is to put them in a better placement on a card as a star. It's an old move. It's an important move. It works every time. But now you got to get the star to agree to show if he's not going to be the main event. To imagine that Conor and Chandler are going to fight on free TV, I think is very hard for you. I don't think that you would buy that. To understand the buyout that you would have to do of Conor's contract because of the participation that he gets for pay-per-view points, it's not realistic, but if we can all agree on that, then we understand that Conor's going to fight on a pay-per-view. And if we were to go back and look at how many pay-per-views are concluded without a title fight, the number's going to be smaller than those that are concluded. But it happens. Some of the biggest pay-per-views ever, as a matter of fact. If you go look at the top 10 selling pay-per-views of all time, a number of them were non-title fights, all of which contain Conor McGregor. So it's not as though that can't be done, but once we establish it's going to be Conor and it's going to be Chandler and it's going to be a pay-per-view, once we figure out that the weight doesn't matter at all, you could do it in grams, ounces, kilograms, pounds, stones. Once you establish that it doesn't matter, you have a very hard time finding any fight on a pay-per-view, main event, throughout history, where any part of it didn't matter. Where the name didn't matter, the location didn't matter, who was red, who was blue, who was officiated, who the judges were, when the on sale was, what time the weigh-ins are. Every single piece of it matters. And if you find one piece that just simply doesn't at all matter, you have a problem. What do you do with the problem? You still got a massive fight. You have a massive and a mega opportunity with two stars. The question is, you don't put on fights for one night. You've just never done that. That's not what you do. You put on meaningful and significant fights that has some portion of this that carries over. You either find a way to change the story so that this fight has a level of meaning, or very simply, you write the same check. You don't put them on top of the bill. You put somebody else. That's your investment. Is that you're going to put the somebody else. But you got to get that star to agree to make the walk. Now you guys know the delay in McGregor versus Chandler. Done, the fighter is the last one to know. I mean, it happens every time. You can rinse and repeat. And we got it going on right now with stars and heroes who we admire. Guys, right now that we got to look at, we're going, man, it's over. It is over if we're having a conversation of you being champion again. As a matter of fact, let me just break it down with you by the numbers. Because one thing that doesn't lie is the numbers. Let me show you these numbers. We have never had anybody over the age of 35 in this position that has, right, but you understand what I'm saying? There's ways that you can just break it down. We can show you in the history of combat, an older athlete has never lost by finish to a younger athlete and come back and beat him. Adversely, I could show you times that a younger athlete beat an older athlete, they rematched and the older athlete did win. But I couldn't when you add the caveat of by finish. So it just starts to be one of these very interesting things. Now, the athletes and the greats are wired a little bit different. You're not going to reason with them. That doesn't mean they've got anything wrong with them. That's what made them special in the first place. They believed in themselves. They're going to continue to believe in themselves. But there's a point where it becomes delusion. And I only share that with you because we, the audience, can see it and we know it. A year, if not two, before that athlete. And the athlete will sell himself. He will convince himself. He'll change his diet, just by example, so that he can tell himself, I'm doing something different, and here's what it is. He might start sleeping different. Very common is to change camps. A death nail where you tear the ticket up and you never bet on the guy again is when he begins to train smarter, not harder. Those words, when spoken, it's a wrap. I bring this to you because my partners at DraftKings who listen to me are not listening to me. They have St. Denis over Dustin Poirier. Now, it puts me in a very tough position. Like, I've never met St. Denis, but I appreciate St. Denis. And I think that he's very good. But discussing St. Denis is not the same as if I'm discussing Tim Kennedy or Brian Stan. He's not a hero for me. Right? He was to the equivalent of a Navy SEAL, but for his country, not for my country. Like, I don't have to show him a respect. I can respect what he did, but I don't have to show him a respect. But I know so many other people do. And I understand where that's nice, and I understand where he's courageous, and I understand the backstory that he has. If you add all of those things up and you think that that equals victory over Dustin Poirier in a 5-round co-main event on pay-per-view under the banner of Ultimate Fighting Championship, I have no idea how you got there. When we talk about fighters are done before they're aware of it, that's not where we're at with Dustin Poirier. As a matter of fact, the main event, or at least the people's main event, of UFC 300, which is the biggest show ever put on in our industry. One half of that is Justin Gaethje, right? Make no mistake, the people's main event is Max versus Gaethje. So we've acknowledged that Gaethje's great, right? We've acknowledged and we've proven that by the numbers. You're aware prior to that head kick that Dustin Poirier was winning that contest. I mean, I'm just bringing that to your attention. A lot of times when a guy gets knocked out, he's done. When a guy gets finished, he's done. If you do a rematch that a guy initially had won and all of a sudden now he's not winning, in fact, he's getting finished, like a lot of times those numbers matter. But if you look a little bit closer at the actual fight, Dustin Poirier was just as quick. He was just as smooth. He was circling his feet. He was moving. He was letting those combinations go. Justin Gaethje never throws that kick to the head. I mean, there was just no way to know. Like, right, there were some explainable things as to how that kick got through in the first place. And the reaction of your light getting switched off was a very normal reaction to taking a kick like that to the head. I mean, I'm just sharing for you. If I was to remove that fight, if I go to Sherdog's Fight Finder, and I got the power, I got an electronic eraser, and I can just erase. That never happened. That match in Salt Lake, it never happened. The BMF was never contested. The rematch between Poirier and Gaethje, it just doesn't happen. I guarantee you, Poirier is the favorite over St. Denis, and I guarantee you it's a minimum of 2-1. When you factor in that it's been changed to a 5-round fight, of which Denis has never been in, and when you factor in that it's in the backyard for Dustin Poirier, I guarantee you DraftKings has at a minimum a 2-1 spread.
when this fight was first discussed, our community pushed back publicly on Dana White saying, what are you doing to St. Denis? He doesn't deserve that. I remember our community specifically saying, Dana, you need somebody for Dustin. You want Dustin on the Miami card for local ticket sales so badly, and no one wants to fight Dustin, that you went down the list until you found somebody that needs the fight, knowing openly it was a lamb going to slaughter for the simple business purpose of filling up the arena based on the location of Miami. That thought only lasted about a day. But that thought and that narrative did last. It was created. And the only thing that has swayed people's attention is that my partners at DraftKings say Denis is going to beat him. I mean, I'm walking you guys down memory lane, but when that fight was first announced, you weren't interested, and you weren't interested because you knew it was a mismatch. You weren't interested because you knew it was a mismatch done by the promotion based on the location of Miami and wanting to sell local seats. It's DraftKings that changed your mind. Truly, that's truly what's happened. Nobody has promoted that fight and nobody has put an interest on that fight like DraftKings. And I must tell you, I have a little tiny baby concern. It's small. It's about right here, but it exists. Which is when I'm hearing the interviews from Dustin and company, which means his team, they are speaking about this fight as though they're up against it. They're speaking about this fight as though they're the underdog. They're speaking about it as though they've been put in a position to shine. Lord, help me that I don't choke now. None of those things are a reality. St. Denis does not have the experience of Dustin Poirier. St. Denis does not have the name recognition of Dustin Poirier. St. Denis is not as close to a title shot as Dustin Poirier. St. Denis is not going to be the surprise of the day and possibly facing retirement if he doesn't win like Dustin Poirier. None of those things are true. None of those things have ever been true. There's a massive sports book called DraftKings that put up a line that says Denis is supposed to beat Poirier. And now our whole world has begun to react like that. And our whole world has begun to speak like that, including Dustin and Dustin's team. But I was there the day that that fight was announced. I was there 3 days later when that fight got re-announced that it was going to be 5 rounds instead of 3. That didn't come out with the initial statement, did it? Do you guys remember that? Did you follow it close enough to know that? Did you follow this close enough to know when that fight was announced, it was 3 rounds and it was a full 72 hours later that we get the eraser out and we change that and it gets released to the public? That it was going to be a 5-round contest? Did you understand those things? And all of those things happened because it lacked interest, and it lacked interest because it appeared to be a mismatch, and it appeared to be a mismatch because Dustin Poirier is a star and St. Denis is not. And then it all changed when DraftKings came out and put Poirier as the dog. And I only have one thought of that, and I only have one concern, which is why when Poirier speaks about it, does he speak about if I can overcome, I can do this, I've got a mountain in front of me? Does he mean that or is he performing? I am very confused how we got to this point. Dustin is clearly a better fighter. Dustin is going to win this fight. Remember I said that. Chito Vera, let's break that down. Chito Vera has proven, I mean, right, I got to start with this. Chito Vera has proven to be a lot better than we thought he was. This is off the top of my head, but there was a time in Chito's career when he was 4-2, or he was 2-4. But whichever it was, the guys that had beat him were released from the UFC. They weren't even still around. That's very compelling. If they weren't around, why was he? Why was he still there? Did he have a favor? Had they not got around to cutting his contract yet? Did they see a potential? The fights that Cheeto lost, did the matchmakers see a potential? I'd be very curious to that answer. I don't know it myself. And when you watch a street fighter, when you watch a guy that gets that mark, that's just dirty, he's a dirty brawler. Those are real compliments within our industry. Like, Cheeto would love if you called him a dirty brawler or you called him a street fighter. There, it's a real praise. Roberto Duran, one of the great legends ever in boxing, would go into that category. He had more grit than he had skill. He had more competitiveness than he had experience. And Cheeto is a brawler. When I tell you he's better than we thought, this is a guy who was either 4-2 or 2-4. I'm not going to take the time to go back and correct it because it doesn't matter. Because that same guy, neither is overly impressive. That same guy that's not overly impressive and found a way to stick around eventually docked out Dominick Cruz. Okay, whoever those two guys that had beaten Vera early on, they got released, that aren't even there. I can't produce their names. That's not my attempt to be disrespectful to those guys, by the way. It's my attempt to show you what a survivor Cheeto is. They didn't survive. They didn't make it. They're not still around. He was a main event against a future Hall of Famer and a former world champion. Oh, and by the way, he won by knockout. I mean, right? Like, this is a very interesting riddle I'm presenting for you. That same guy is about to headline a pay-per-view and is one win away from a world title. Oh, by the way, hold on. It doesn't end there. Because the guy who he's fighting named Sugar Sean O'Malley, it's actually a rematch. And the Dirty Rotten Brawler won the first time. The guy who lost fights to guys who aren't even around. That guy that I was telling you a minute ago, that guy, his name's Cheeto. That guy won the first time. But Cheeto's the underdog. Not in my mind. According to DraftKings, the official line, Cheeto Vera is the dog. Cheeto Vera has been the dog from the jump. There wasn't a day that he wasn't. Like sometimes lines move or they get closer. Whoa, this guy passed him up. Or you have the open workouts. Or a rumor slips out that this guy's hurt and training camp hasn't gone well. There's ways to move those lines. Been very steady, been very consistent. And Sean O'Malley has been the favorite over Cheeto the entire time. And you go back and you look at greatest wins. That's one way that you would do it. Look at a guy's greatest win. What would you say it is for O'Malley? Beating Sterling brought him the world championship. But he also caught Aljo. The night that Sean O'Malley beat Peter Yan felt like a surprise. And not just that he beat him, but also the way that he beat him. O'Malley's ability to maintain range, not just to understand range. A fight analyst could understand range. A viewer could understand range. To implement and actually be able to maintain range for the better part of 15 minutes with somebody as good as Yan, man, it was a shock. O'Malley went from number 10 to number 1. I don't remember a time since they started doing the rankings in 2012. I do not remember a time a guy jumped 10 spots. Do you? I believe it's the only time that's ever been done. I remember the time they were fighting tooth and nail. Break any rule and policy that we could possibly do just to get Chimaev a ranking. I mean, but I remember these things. And it can be a heavily manipulated situation. And when O'Malley went from 10 to 1, the only pushback by anybody in the community is how the hell did you have him at number 10? Not how does he end up at number 1? Like O'Malley versus Yan, that was the eye-opener, in my opinion.
And I think that you would agree with me. I'm going to put that as O'Malley's biggest win because it was a full performance. There was a full grittiness. There was fatigue. There was rounds. There was information coming right from your coaches in your corner. Go redo. Hit the ground, but every 5 minutes we're going to reset you on your feet. I mean, that's very different than hitting Aljo on the chin in Indy tonight. That's one guy's opinion. But that's where I'm going to go. I'm then going to say for Vera, his greatest victory and performance is against Dominic Cruz. And that's very interesting to me because Dominic Cruz versus Sean O'Malley is really one of these dream matches. Right, they got the Arizona tie-in, and it's the old guard and the new guard. Like, there's just certain things in fighting that work. That works. Territory, geography, respect, new versus old. Like, there's just things that work. But the closest that we ever got to O'Malley and Cruz was the mutual opponent. So, when you're breaking down Vera and O'Malley, do you have any reason that this fight will be different than the last? Now, I'm purely looking at how DraftKings came to this conclusion. And this one's tight. My good friend John Anik would refer to this as a pick'em, but it's not quite even money. This is not quite even money. There is a very clear favorite here, which is Sean O'Malley. So I'm going to ask you the same question I asked you 10 seconds ago. Is there any reason you believe this fight is going to be different? I did not ask you if the outcome is going to be different. I'm asking you about the actual match. I'm asking you about the actual performance. Do you believe that Sean O'Malley is a better stand-up fighter now than he was then? Do you believe that Cheeto is a better stand-up fighter than he was then? Do you believe that O'Malley is hungrier now than he was then? Do you believe that Cheeto is hungrier now than he was then? And then let's just keep on playing this game. Let's just keep on bouncing it back and forth. Let's go to the grappling. Let's go to the wrestling. And let's go to the training camps. Let's go to the knowledge and information. I mean, let's keep on playing this game until we get to the bottom of it. One thing about O'Malley that is extremely consistent is his consistency. He's a winner. Sean O'Malley is a gamer. And it doesn't matter if there's nobody in the room, which is a weird, that's a very weird environment to fight in. It really is. But that's what the set of Dana White Contender Series consists of. You're in a very quiet practice room type atmosphere. You can hear the other guy breathing. You can hear every word his coach says. You can hear the impact of the strikes. Just for example, if you juxtapose that against 17,438 screaming fans, which would represent O'Malley's last contest in Boston, all cheering for you. Think about that pressure. Think about everything on that. But O'Malley still goes out and performs. If O'Malley's hurt and he's on one leg, I mean, it's one thing you got to give Sugar Sean. He will bring his tools with him. You are not going to go to a press conference and make that guy collapse. Not going to happen. You are not going to back him down in the media. You're not going to beat up a whole bunch of people and then make him scared and wilt where he doesn't bring his skills. Now, I have to bring up that competitiveness because that's an intangible. You can't see that and I can't prove it to you on paper. But it is 100% why Cheeto Vera is standing here today and he wasn't released like the guys who beat him. Cheeto, in front of your eyes, learned how to win. He didn't learn how to fight. He didn't learn how to stop an armbar. He didn't learn how to defend a double leg. That's not what it is. You can go back and watch those fights that he lost. That was a guy that didn't believe in himself, didn't know. Turned out he was better than he knew that he was. And then there was a day where he realized, I'm good at this. I deserve it. I don't need to be my own worst enemy. And those are two very scary guys to face. A guy like Sean O'Malley that can do it in an empty room or he can do it in a sold-out arena. He can do it on two legs feeling great or he could be busted up and he's not going to quit and he's not going to stop. Versus a guy who spent part of his life being his own worst enemy and stopping himself. Finally learned to get out of his own way. And now how far can he go? That's a massive question.
Why could Cheeto not win this fight considering he already has? Why could Cheeto not become world champion considering he's already beaten world champions? This is a mess. It really is. When John Anik refers to it as a pick'em, not quite. But when DraftKings refers to O'Malley as the favorite, that's true that he is. But if you're going to roll with Anik and go, I don't know, or you're going to roll with DraftKings and you're going to pick O'Malley, you are going to have to ask yourself one question. In the first fight, when these same two guys weighing the same thing, under the same unified rules, did this exact same thing, who, prior to the ending, did you feel was performing better? You're going to have to ask yourself that. And that has been greatly debated. That has been greatly debated, including with myself. I was there. I was at the apex. I watched that fight. And you want to know who I thought was winning? O'Malley. That's what I thought. I went back and rewatched that fight. I didn't come to the same opinion. So it really is a very confusing match. And we really can't move on with this division. I mean, we really can't go forward. Put a belt on one guy and put a number one contendership on another guy. What's Merab going to do? Where's Nurmagomedov fit into this? Like, we really can't go forward until these two settle this. And the first one did not settle it. Sugar State Athletic Commission even threw it out. Some people that will tell you that fight never even happened. But something happened. And there was a level of performance. And you got O'Malley, who's really good and knows it. You got Cheeto, who's really good and just found out. Those are two dangerous guys, man. It's a very interesting fight. DraftKings says O'Malley's the favorite, which tells me that DraftKings believes O'Malley, up until the injury, was winning the first fight. I'd be very curious. If you would leave me a comment below, I would be very curious if you agree. All right, you all, I've had it with you. That is it for today's episode, but I do appreciate you listening, as you do every week. And some of you have sent me some very nice messages congratulating me on the new show with DC. That is over at ESPN Plus and anywhere that you can get podcasts if you would like to just hear the audio. If you haven't checked it out yet, please do. You can even do it on YouTube. Enjoy the fights this weekend, guys. I'm going to be back on Tuesday to recap it all and to take ownership over the predictions that I just made, as I always do, because I am Chael Sonnen. And you are welcome.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.